Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. He did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as of yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this great day when our Savior has risen from the dead, he gives this gift of eternal life to Warren. I would invite you to follow along in your hymnal on page 268 as we answer these questions of faith, remembering our baptism and speaking for Warren. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, Baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How is this child named?
Warren
Knight Van Bockel received the sign of the Holy Cross both upon the forehead and upon the heart as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemn the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet, according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all of his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Warren according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with the true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of a holy life of faith in Christ and love for their neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Warren as sponsors in the Christian faith? God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work. With his grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. We pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Warren, I now ask you these questions. Warren, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? Warren, do you desire to be baptized? Warren Knight Van Bockel, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, it's okay. The Almighty God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you this new birth of water and the Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. May he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you might meet him with joy and enter with him in the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Amen.
Warren, in holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Warren this new birth in holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that he has now become your son, you would keep him in eternal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's peace be with you, Warren, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
You can extinguish the candle and be seated, and I'm going to steal your son for a moment. Yep. It is a tremendous day when we gather and we hear and know that Christ is risen.
Indeed. Hallelujah.
It is a tremendous thing to know that that gift has just been given to Warren. Not because he earned it, but because Christ in his loving kindness gives the gift of forgiveness of sins through the waters of baptism. Today, Warren has become a child of God with hope and promise that the world outside of Christ does not know. Would you join me in welcoming Warren into the kingdom of heaven? God bless you guys. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He is risen, alleluia. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Alleluia. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. He is risen, alleluia. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Alleluia. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb.
Glory on.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Job chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me your catechetical review, the second article of the Apostles' Creed. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were on their way, saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Then you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. Do you know what this morning is?
Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. What happened on Easter Sunday? Jesus rose from the dead. Can you rise from the dead? Well, not on your own. Even if you try, you still can't. That's right, but you can be raised. So this Sunday, as we celebrate Easter, what has changed? When we look at the church around us, what has changed? The banners have changed and the colors have changed. Just a couple of days ago, it was purple for Lent. And what color is it now? White. That's right. Now, when we enter into the season of Easter, we have a lot of pictures of lambs. Can you find any pictures of lambs around here? There's one there. There's one there. There's one there. There's probably more if we look. The cross I usually wear has a lamb on it. Do you know why we have a lamb? Why do we have a lamb? Well, not reincarnated as a lamb, but when John the Baptist and Jesus are together, John says, he points to Jesus and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world." And how did Jesus take away the sins of the world? By dying on the cross. All of our sins were put on Jesus, and Jesus died with those sins, and that's the end of the story. Somebody disagree? That wasn't the end of the story. What happened? Today, early in the morning, Jesus that was dead was alive again. Now, we look at these pictures of the lamb. Look at this one up over here. What do you see? You see a lamb. You see a cross. What else do you see? The lamb's blood is shed into the cup. This is Jesus on Good Friday when he died on the cross. This is also the picture up there you see in the stained glass window and the crucifix right in front of the altar. Jesus died for our sins. Now look at that picture of the lamb up there on that banner on the other side. What's different about these two pictures? Do you see any chalice over there and the blood coming out of that lamb? That is the Easter Sunday lamb. That is Jesus risen from the dead. And even though that Jesus was crucified and bloody on the cross, when he rose, he still had the marks of the cross. But Jesus was whole. And he was alive. And he appeared to the disciples. And he is still living today. Now, how do we get from the cross of Jesus, how do we get that forgiveness of sins? Can we go buy it? Can we earn it? Come with me. We saw this morning the way that God takes the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross, and he delivered it to us. We saw it this morning because God gave it to Warren, wherever Warren is. God gave it to him, and he did it right here. In the name of the
Father,
and the
Son,
and the
Holy Spirit.
And God took this plain water and his word, and he connected us to Jesus. Jesus died and Jesus rose, and when he rose, he says to all of us, your sins, all of them, are finished. And you're forgiven, and you're a child of God. So this Easter celebration is a celebration of Jesus dying and rising, and then a celebration of him giving that great gift to us. You are forgiven because of what Jesus did for you. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. You pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for your death.
Thank you for your death.
Thank you for your glorious resurrection.
Thank you for your glorious resurrection.
Thank you for giving that gift to me.
Thank you for giving that gift to me.
In the waters of baptism.
In the waters of baptism.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Thank you for forgiving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now there's one more thing. On Easter Sunday and in the season of Easter, we say this. Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Alleluia. All right. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. And we continue with our next hymn. Oh.
Oh.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Please be seated. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for this great day where you have overcome sin and death and given us holiness and life and forgiveness of sins. Strengthen us, Father, in the mess of our life with the hope and promise that comes from our Savior Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Finish this phrase with me. And they lived happily. Doesn't that sound great? That's exactly what we want, isn't it? When a story ends with that, and they lived happily ever after, everything is tied up in that perfect bow. There's no struggle, there's no sorrow, there's no doubt, there's no more questions. Everything works out just the way you want. There's no doubt, there's no second guessing. Everyone is happy. That's what we think sometimes about Easter morning, about the resurrection of Jesus. We want him to be the hero that rides in on the white horse, or even better, comes out of his tomb dressed in white and holiness and comes and brings peace to everyone, and everything is fixed and there's no sorrow and there's no suffering and everyone lives. That's what we think we want with the resurrection. We want a hero that takes away all of our suffering and all of our struggles. Today's Easter Sunday. Jesus has risen from the dead. Death and the grave could not hold him. All the evil in the world that sought to end Jesus and to end your hope stopped with his resurrection. All the evil in the world that sought to end Jesus has been defeated. And we think the next thing we hear should be, and they lived happily ever after. As much as we want that, as much as we hope for that, it's not here. The resurrection of Jesus brings us something, though, that is far more powerful than, and they lived happily ever after. It brings something that's enduring and something that is relevant to every single day of our lives. I would love it if the gospel accounts on Easter morning completely changed everyone's eyes and everyone's mind, and there was no suffering and there was no denial and there was no doubt or fear. But that's what happens when Jesus comes to the earth the next time. All of this will be over. And Christ will reign, and then it will be, and they lived happily ever after. But right now in the midst of suffering, Jesus comes to us with hope. This morning, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we don't use, and they lived happily ever after, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is not a fairy tale. It's real, and it's for you. It's for sinners. It's for you and me and all of us who struggle in the messiness of life and the messiness of faith. Look at how those who were the closest to Jesus struggled on that first resurrection morning. The Sabbath is past. It's the first day of the week. It's Sunday. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went back to the tomb. Back to Good Friday, if you will. Back to do what they couldn't get done on Friday because it was in a hurry so they could observe the Sabbath, and they go back to the tomb with spices and ointment to anoint Jesus and wrap and care for his body even in death. They weren't thinking about a celebration. They weren't thinking about his victory over sin and death. They were caught up in worrying about who is going to roll the stone away. How are we going to be able to continue to do the work we need to do with the stone in front of the door? Worry and anxiety, and don't forget their grief. On Friday, they saw their Savior, their Lord, their friend, brutally crucified on the cross, and they brought him down and they put him in the tomb. They were consumed with the messiness of death and mourning as they went to the tomb. And yet, Jesus' resurrection was for them, right in the middle of all of that suffering. Right in the midst of their messiness and struggles, the risen from the dead Jesus comes to them in the midst of their struggles to be with them in their sorrow and their grief. The risen Jesus comes to Mary and Martha not to hold their hand and pat them on the back and say, "There, there, it will be fine," and they lived happily ever after. He comes to give them hope. Risen from the dead, hope. In the midst of their mess, in the midst of their unbelief and their fear, because of what Jesus has done on Good Friday when he hung on the cross, condemned and abandoned by God for all sin, Jesus steps into the messiness of their grief to bring forgiveness and peace. Jesus comes to Mary and Martha in their suffering to assure them that his descent into hell was not judgment and punishment on him for bearing our sins, but it was the divine victory lap, if you will, to say to the devil, "Devil, you struck me with death in my heel, but I have crushed your head and your hold on all mankind with my resurrection." St. Mark tells us that the Marys left the tomb trembling and astonished, and they were afraid. That's what happens when our messy lives, our messy, sin-soaked lives are confronted with a risen Savior, a risen and living Savior in Jesus. He brings hope that breaks the hold of worry and fear on us. Jesus releases us from the slavery of sin and gives us hope and peace because he is stronger and more powerful than any worry, than any fear, than anything that plagues you in your world. St. John tells us that Mary ran to St. Peter and St. John, and she said she's seen the Lord. They weren't sure what to make of it either. They ran to the tomb. St. John looked in. St. Peter, when he arrived, he went in, and they saw the two cherubim sitting there, one at the head, one at the foot. Just like the Ark of the Covenant that has the two angels, one at the head, one at the foot, looking down at the center of the Ark of the Covenant, and right there is the mercy seat where the blood of the Lamb is poured for the forgiveness of God's people. The angels stand there looking at that place, that mercy seat, where mercy rose from the dead and lives and reigns and comes into our world. And not just our world, but into your mess. The place where God's promise of mercy and forgiveness rose and walked out of the tomb of death and destruction is alive today. Jesus. St. John and St. Peter had been with Jesus, now remember, 3 years. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him feed 5,000 men in one occasion and 4,000 men in another, plus the women, plus the kids, with just a few loaves of bread and a few pieces of fish. They've heard Jesus say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And St. John tells us the amazing thing that happened that morning. They saw and they believed. For they had not yet understood the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. That's not what you'd expect from these guys who have seen with their own eyes, eyewitness to all of these miracles of Jesus. They saw and they believed and they went back home. But that's the reality of sinful men, sinful women, trying to wrap our head around hope and peace. And a God that loves us so much that he would sacrifice his own son to step into your mess and take your sin away and then give you his holiness. His rising to life again is a real and a true promise to you, even if you have trouble understanding it and believing it like the disciples did. Many of you have heard all of these accounts that the disciples saw with their own eyes. You were taught them in Sunday school. You've studied them. You know these accounts of Jesus and his mighty miracles as well. And this morning as you sit here, some of you might be just like St. John and St. Peter, wondering, not understanding the scriptures. You may even question the resurrection, if it's really true, if it's really true for you. Dear saints, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is true. And it's real. And it's for you. This hope and this promise of this risen Savior is for you so that you will not struggle with your sin eternally. This is the hope and the peace with God dropped right in the midst of the hot mess of all of our lives. It is the forgiveness of all your sins at the great cost of the life of Jesus. It's the absolute assurance that because death did not and could not hold Jesus, it cannot and it will not hold those who know Jesus. For all of us, at one point in time or another, we have questions. We have doubts. We wonder about Jesus, his resurrection. Is it real? Is it for me? Dear saints, hear again the gospel account. His sacrifice on the cross paid all of your debt, all of your sin, paid for all your worry and your unbelief and your wondering if this can be real. Nothing about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is dependent on your understanding or even your believing. Jesus died on Good Friday and rose from the dead on this day, whether you believe it or not. The forgiveness of sins that he accomplished is for your mess, just as much as it was for Mary with her worry and St. John and St. Peter and their not understanding what that meant. When Mary saw the angel this resurrection morning, he said to her, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place." Sorry. Christ is risen. And the angel said this to them too, "But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee." The angel was insistent that the disciples, who all ran away on that night when Jesus was being interrogated and crucified and arrested, they were told that he is alive again. They were told that their sin is forgiven by Jesus, that there's hope for them, even amidst their guilt, because Jesus died for that very guilt. The angel was insistent that Peter knew for certain that Jesus was not dead. Tell the disciples, but tell Peter. Tell Peter, because remember what Peter did? Jesus said to Peter, "You will deny me three times." Peter said, "Absolutely not, Lord. I will not deny you, even if I have to go to my death." And then there, as Jesus is being tried three times, Peter said, "I don't know who he is." And then Jesus looked at him. Peter knew very clearly what he had just done, denied his Savior. That guilt still resting upon him now. And Jesus, risen from the dead, steps right into Peter's world and comes back and forgives him. Tell the disciples. Tell Peter. Tell God's people. Christ is risen. And he's risen not as a fairy tale, but he's risen as a real Savior that walks with you in every aspect of your messy and broken lives. Dear saints, Christ is risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is not a stand-alone event and then everyone lived happily ever after. It's a continuation of the promise that God made when Adam and Eve's mess infected all mankind with sin and death. You come here this morning, and honestly, you bring your own hot mess with you, every one of you. Grief at the loss of someone that you love. Worry and fear and anxiety plague you. Family guilt, addiction, your struggling marriage, unbelieving family or friends. You might even be facing your own death. Today, this Easter morning, there is hope for you because Jesus walks with you. Not a happily ever after and takes everything away, but walks with you in your struggle and points you to an eternal hope that is given to you through his death and resurrection. There isn't anything that you struggle with in your entire life that is stronger than Jesus, who beat death and forgave every sin and walks with you in your struggle. Christ is risen. And that's real. And that's for you, with hope and promise that the world can never offer. Christ is risen. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you kept your promise and delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven, and by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies nor give in to the temptation of despair in our days of trouble. Lord, in your mercy, you have brought us to this new day of hope and joy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hinder the enemies of your gospel, that this Easter message may be proclaimed to all people in every place and bring many to faith. Lord, in your mercy, bless Joseph, our president, and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on the sick and those in any need. Especially today, O Lord, we remember Daryl and Glenda, Ron and Joel. We also remember today Gunner and Pastor Scott, Leanne, June and Jim, Wally and Marlene. We lift up to you, O Lord, Deanna and Marna, Rob, Emily, Dave and Sherry, and Ashley and Dana, Vonda, Colleen, Connie and Linda, Willa, Jenny, and Warren. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy, be with those who mourn today, especially, O Lord, we pray that you would continue to comfort Dawn and her family, Cindy and family. We ask that you would be with Pastor Tim Heath and his family. Be with Becky, Mel, and Bobby and family, and the family of Julie Fisk, and also Jessica and Andrew and their family, and Laura. Lord, today we rejoice as you kept your promise to us, and you not only did you suffer and die on the cross to save us from our sins, but you've now risen victorious. And you've delivered those promises to us in the waters of our baptism. We rejoice today, O Lord, in the baptismal birthdays of Cora, Peterson, Jesse Roberts, Vonda, Sturzenbecker, Michael Tatterin, Emily Von Buckle, and Warren Van Buckle. Give us joy in your son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar. In the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith, overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. We praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We pray that you will not abandon us to Sheol, but that when we awake in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. Lord, in your mercy. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. Please stand for the offertory. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord.
Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
For you, for your blood of the grace, for you. Thank you. Thank you.
Stand as we continue with Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord and sing His praise. Tell everyone what He has done. Let everyone who seeks the Lord rejoice and proudly bear His name. He recalls His promises and leads His people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Just want to acknowledge again for this service all of our musicians, the bells, Joni, the choir, Lynn. I love it when you open up the stops. So thank you. Speaking of music, I just found this out shortly before the service, second service started this morning. We have several members of the St. Louis, our seminary in St. Louis, who are visiting us here today. And I could tell because during the singing, during communion and everything, thanks to all of you. That sounded really, would you all mind just standing up so everybody could see who you are? Thanks be to God.
Which seminary are they from?
St. Louis. The other seminary. Thanks, guys. Thanks be to God that He still is calling men and women into the service, into the work of the church. Thank you for stepping up and heeding that call of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, thank you for your word this morning, your proclamation. What a great day this is to know that we are saved, we're forgiven, we belong to Christ. We saw the baptism this morning of Warren, and that's another reminder to us right here on this day that God has made us His own and sealed us in the waters of His baptism. Go in His peace.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.